Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, I want to let you know that today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. And among them, I want to thank Thomas. And I'll be sending along access to the premium site, which we do with all donations of $7 or more. In addition, go to greatdetectives.net. We have a couple of great articles up this week. First of all, we take a look at the Colonial Radio Theater's latest mystery drama. This one's called The Thinking Machine. And my review will be up on Saturday for that. And on Sunday, I'm going to take a look at how radio is a little bit different than what we were told. I think mostly people in culture kind of like to believe that radio is some silly comedies and a few hard-boiled detectives. A little more than that, and we'll talk about that at greatdetectives.net. You can follow all the articles that we do on your Kindle. And you can try it out free for 2 weeks through the Kindle store. Just search for the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. Well, we return to where we were in our chronology before we went to that lost episode. So now here's today's story, the pitiful patricide case from June 17th, 1952.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city. For under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is the lineup.
Oh, she's fine, thanks. We brought her home this morning.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, you gotta hand it to her. Doc said there wasn't a peep out of her. Behaved better than most grown-ups.
Proud father, huh?
Oh, sure. If you had any kids, you know what it's like.
Mrs. Weiss here yet?
Oh, I don't think so.
Did Klein come in?
I haven't seen him. Sandy's always been brave about things like that, though. Even the dentist doesn't bother her.
Hi, Ben.
Oh, hi. Hi, Klein.
How's Sandy, Dave?
Don't ask him. You'll get a lecture on brave children.
Oh, she's fine, thanks. Didn't you have
any... Never mind, I believe you. Oh, hello, Miss Weiss.
Hello, Lieutenant Guthrie.
How are you feeling?
Oh, much better, thank you.
You remember Sergeant Fine, Sergeant Asher?
Oh, yes, how do you do?
How do you do, Miss Weiss?
I'm sorry I'm late. Seems like there's so many things to do now that Daddy is gone.
Oh, that's all right. Here, this'll do.
Lieutenant, did you find the men that did this awful thing?
We're not sure. We picked up one man that fits your description.
Oh, but there were... two men, Lieutenant.
Yeah, I know, but if we can get one, we can usually get the other.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Cogger, Sergeant Pete Cogger. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure of the suspect, have him held. The officers who took your name will assist you. They're seated among you. Please be prompt with your questions or identification. When the prisoners leave here, they're sent to the washroom and dressed back into their jail clothes. It makes it quite difficult to bring them back after they leave here. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. All right, bring on the line. Okay, keep it moving. Right over here to the end of the stage. Come on, boys, move it. Now turn and face front, hands at your sides, and look straight out through the screen. That's it. Now, when I call your number, step out. Keep facing front and talk up so everybody out there can hear you. I want all those people out there on the other side of the screen to get a good look at you and be able to hear what you say. So stand up and talk up. All right, number one, Ernest Fitz, Grand Larceny. Okay, Ernie, step out.
Ernest, if you please.
All right, Ernest. What's your address?
Well, my mailing address is 1263 South Griffith Road, Miami, Florida.
When I ask for your address, I want to know the address where you slept last.
Oh, 614 Oak Lane.
House or apartment?
It's an apartment. I'm staying with a friend of mine.
And we know all about your friend.
Oh, really?
How long have you been in town, Ernest?
Yeah.
I think that's one of the men, that French one.
Oh, you sure?
I would like to see him closer.
Yeah, but wait till he's called, when you'll be able to get a better look at him.
When were you in Palm Springs?
Well, last year.
For how long?
Well, really, now, must we go through this foolishness?
How long were you in Palm Springs?
Well, about 3 months.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm a salesman.
What kind?
A very good one.
All right, Harry. What do you sell?
Real estate, securities.
What firm do you represent?
What firm?
Yes, what company?
Well, I suppose you would call it my own.
Business been good, Ernie?
Oh, it's very good. Well, that is, up until this afternoon.
Okay, Ernie, step back. Number two, Herbert Emery, robbery. Where do you live, Herbert?
We are in Far East Federal.
Where do you work?
I ain't working right now. I've been looking, though.
What were you doing at 434 East Collins early this morning?
Looking. Just looking, that's all.
For work?
Yeah. I go out early in the morning, line up places to ask for a job during the day.
But the store wasn't open for business, and you were inside.
The door was unlocked. I was going to close it.
Oh. Where are you from, Emery?
Oregon.
You ever been in trouble before?
No, sir, nothing serious.
How old are you?
41. I ain't in any trouble now, am I?
A little.
Oh, I ain't done nothing. The door was open. I was going to close it.
You own a car?
No, sir.
How long you been in town?
Near 2 weeks.
All right, Emery, step back. Number three, Roger Fitzgerald, open charge. Okay, Roger, stand up straight. That's it. Where do you live?
4677 North 40.
You own a car?
No, sir, you know that. I was waiting for a bus when you picked me up.
Where'd you get the typewriters, Roger?
I found them.
Where?
In the bushes.
You find a lot of typewriters?
Yeah, quite a few.
We found 12 more typewriters in your room, Roger.
There were that many?
Yeah. You ever been picked up before?
On this town.
How long you been in town, Roger?
40 months.
Where you from?
Dayton, Ohio. Hey, you think I stole those typewriters?
That's right.
You kidding?
Afraid not. Okay, step back, Roger.
Could we move
number
up a little
four, Carl Lindell, robbery.
I'm sorry, my eyes aren't as good as when I was
Don't
young.
Come on, Washington Boulevard.
Lived there long?
4 days.
You own a car?
No.
How long you been in town?
10 days.
Where'd you come from?
Texas.
What city?
Dallas.
What kind of work do you do?
Mechanic.
You folks out there here? Okay, Carl, speak up. Stand up straight. How old are you?
24.
Any weapons on you when you were picked up?
32 revolver.
Nickel plated or blue steel?
Blue.
Not very talkative, are you, Carl?
No.
Any questions or identification?
I'm sure of it now, Lieutenant.
All right, quiet down.
He was one of them.
You make me sick.
Believe me, I would never say it if I'm not sure.
I believe you, Miss Weiss.
Something as serious as this, I would be sure before I said anything.
Surely. Sergeant Cargan.
Yes, Lieutenant.
Number four, hold for interrogation.
Here's a package in Carl Lindell, Ben.
It came in on a teletype.
Hey. Oh, been a busy boy, hasn't he?
And they want him back there when we're through with him. Grand theft auto.
Three arrests. First in 1944.
Only thing he's been arrested for is theft.
Well, looks like he got in a little over his head this time. Al?
Asher's got Lindell out here, Ben.
Send him in.
Right.
Well, let's see what he has to say.
Over here.
Okay, what's the beef?
Don't you know?
Nah, I'm supposed to be a mind reader.
Okay, have it your way. We'll bring you up to date. Night before last, a liquor store at the corner of Beverly and 6th was held up. The owner, Mr. Weiss, was shot and killed in the struggle with the thieves.
So what?
Mrs. Weiss identified you in the line as one of the men.
So I tell you, I don't know anything about it. No matter what town you're in, the cops don't change. Witnesses have been known to make mistakes.
This one's positive.
Okay, so she's positive. I'm positive I didn't have anything to do with it.
Where were you night before last?
I went to a show.
Anybody with you?
No, I went by myself.
Can you prove you were at the show?
No, I told you nobody was with me.
Well, what picture did you see?
I don't know the name of it. It was a musical.
What theater?
What difference does it make?
Your folks down in Dallas, Carl?
No, I don't know where they are. They wouldn't care anyhow.
You know you're wanted in Texas?
So what? Send me back.
Grand theft's better than a murder rap, Carl.
I didn't kill nobody.
Who did? Your partner?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Who is your partner?
I don't have any partner. I've only been in town for 10 days.
Made any friends while you've been in town?
No.
What do you do at night?
Stay in my room.
What have you been doing in the daytime?
Looking for a job.
Where?
Lots of places.
Name one.
A garage on 12th Street.
What did they say?
They didn't need anybody. I'd be working if they did.
Want a cigarette?
No.
You ever been around Beverly and 6th?
I don't know. I don't even know where it is.
How long you lived in the motel?
Ever since I got in town, 10 days.
Where did your partner go?
I don't know.
They thought you didn't have a partner.
I didn't.
What picture did you see 3 nights ago?
I told you I don't remember the name. It was a musical. Why don't you guys let up? I'm telling you the truth.
You said you saw the musical the night before last.
I did.
You went to a show 2 nights in a row?
No. You guys got me talking to myself. Just because some half-blind old dame gets a liquor store stuck up, you guys try to make me the patsy.
How did you know she was half-blind?
All right, I was in on it. But I didn't kill the old man. Earl did it.
Earl who?
Earl Bentley. Crazy jerk. He didn't have to either. The old man didn't even have a gun.
Whose car did he use?
I don't know who it belonged to. Earl stole it.
Where does Bentley live?
I don't know. Really, I don't know. I met him in a bar at 3rd and Washington. High Ho. He got a girlfriend who works there.
And what's her name?
Jean. Jean Hillary.
You seen Earl since the robbery?
No.
Okay, Asher, lock him up.
An unborn baby, an aged grandmother, a Cub Scout, a hardened veteran of the Korean War, people of all kinds, your neighbors, are helped when you give to your local community chest. It's many campaigns in one, and it provides the only financial support for dozens of health, welfare, recreation, and defense organizations in your hometown. They're all counting on a bigger gift from you this year. Don't let them down.
Bar girl in the whole place.
Yeah. Jean Hillian?
Yes, that's right.
Police officer, Miss Hillian. I'm Lieutenant Guthrie. This is Sergeant Cargan.
Oh, you want to see the owner?
No. We'd like to talk to you.
What in the world for?
You know an Earl Bentley?
Sure, I know Earl.
And when was the last time you saw him?
Well, it's been pretty nearly a week. He told me he was going out of town. What's the matter? Is Earl in trouble?
Did he say where he was going?
No, he just said he was going out of town. He never tells me much about what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me.
Sir. Good looking.
Dr. Collins and a bourbon and water. You never did answer me. Is Earl in trouble?
No, we'd just like to talk to him. Did he say when he was coming back?
No, he didn't. He's never gone for more than a week at a time.
Well, does he go out of town often?
Oh, about once a month.
You know a Carl Lindell?
No. No, I don't think so.
He's 5'11", dark brown hair, brown eyes. They're from Texas.
Oh, yeah, I remember him now. He came in with Earl a couple of times last week. Excuse me.
Well, looks like we better go back and have another talk with Lindell.
Nothing like setting up an alibi. I think Lindell leveled with us.
Maybe so.
Oh, Jean, does Earl own a car?
Yeah, a maroon Ford.
A sedan? Coupe?
Yeah, coupe.
Do you know what year it is?
So 1949, I think. It's pretty new.
And where does he work?
Well, I don't know for sure. For his father, I think. He must do all right, though. He always seems to have money.
What does his father do?
He has a restaurant. Earl mentioned it just the other day. Said he was sick and tired of working in a hash house and was going to get into something better.
You know where the restaurant is?
Mm-hmm, over on Washington. The Coffee Cup, 900 block north.
I see. Well, thanks, Miss Elliott.
Oh, what if Earl should come in?
Just don't mention our being here.
Oh, I won't if you don't want me to.
No, we don't want you to.
All right. I still can't understand what you want with Earl.
Okay, Ben?
Sure.
What'll it be, gentlemen?
Coffee for me, please.
Same.
Right.
Clean place, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Not much business, though.
And there you are. Two coffees. Anything else?
Is that pie any good?
It better be. I make it myself.
Give me a piece of the berry.
Sure.
You run this place by yourself?
Practically. Wish I could get some good help. Even my own son thinks he's too good to work in a lunch counter. This ain't too much of a place, but it's been good to me. I'm going to retire one of these days, and I always figured that Earl, he's my son, I always figured that he could take over someday.
Well, maybe he'll change his mind.
Not Earl. You know, I started this place 14 years ago. Got a little home around the corner here on 9th Street, all paid for it, and I got a little money in the bank. But that ain't good enough for Earl. He's going to make it fast, he says.
Where is he now?
Earl, I don't know. Never tells me where he's going.
You think he's home?
I doubt it. Why'd you ask that?
I just wondered.
You fellas friends of Earl?
Not exactly. But we would like to see him.
You fellas are policemen, aren't you? Earl's in some kind of trouble, ain't he?
That's right, Mr. Bentley.
Yes?
Mrs. Bentley?
Yes.
Police, Mrs. Bentley.
Oh, want to come in?
No, thank you. Is Earl here?
Nope. He left about 2 hours ago.
Did he leave in his car?
Uh-huh.
You know when he'll be back?
Nope. Earl, don't tell me nothing about what he does. He's in trouble, ain't he?
We'd like to talk to him.
I knew it. I knew it was bound to happen.
Well, how's that?
A smart aleck punk. I told his father he was going to get in trouble.
Isn't he your boy, too?
Nope. He just married his old man last year.
How old is Earl?
24. He's old enough to know better.
You mind if we have a look around?
Nope. But he ain't here.
Pete?
Yeah, Ben.
Check the house.
All right.
Where's his room, Mrs. Bentley?
Right down the hall. What'd he do?
We think he shot a man.
He has the guts, all right. Smart aleck jerk. Here. Take a look.
You have any idea where he might be?
Nope. Told you don't tell me nothing.
Nothing here, Ben.
Of course he ain't here. I'd have told you if he was.
May I use your phone, Mrs. Bentley?
Sure, help yourself. In the kitchen. Then Julia. See the man. Keep the peace.
You think you'll come back home, Ben?
Sure.
Didn't take any clothes. Probably doesn't even know we got Lindell.
G43, 914. Code 5 at 631 Cedar. Pick up. Suspect Earl Bentley. Age 24. Male. Caucasian. 5'9". 165 pounds. Brown hair. Probably driving 1949 maroon Ford coupe.
If he comes back, they'll get him.
You think he'll try anything else?
Well, maybe. If he's as cocky as Mrs. Bentley thinks he is, he won't quit now.
G23, 390W at 5441 Garden Street. See the man.
I asked Asher how his kid was.
Yeah, so did I.
It sure burns quine up the way Dave was on about his kid.
There's one good thing about being single. You never have any trouble like that.
You want to go up, Madison?
Oh, okay.
You ever been around Asher's kid?
No.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, you would go up, Madison. Looks like it just happened. Better stop.
Is anyone hurt?
No. No, I don't think so. I'm not, anyway.
Well, are you the driver of that car?
Yeah. The other car came clean across the double line. Hooked me on the rear fender. Guy should down to turn me over.
Did he stop?
No. I saw him going around the corner, but by the time I got there, well, he was gone. I just now got back here to my car. He must have gone to call you guys.
Well, there hasn't been any call on this.
Gee, that's all
funny. Units.
I'd have called, but I...
All units. Hold it.
Huh? Hold it.
Vicinity Cedar and Washington. 211 at 1506 Acacia.
Hey.
A liquor store.
That's only a few blocks from
here. Suspect resembles Earl Bentley. Male, Caucasian, about 5'9".
Let's go, Pete.
165
This street over, Pete. Cuts into Washington, right? Not much chance of seeing him.
And there he goes, Pete. He couldn't make the light. He turned off.
See if you can make it, Pete.
That'll be close, Ben.
You see us, Ben?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Hey, he's not going to make it. Making a run for it. Come on, Pete. In that garage. Cover the alley.
Right. Hey, mister, are you a cop?
Yeah.
Some guy just came running in the garage. He's got a gun.
Yeah, I know. Anyone else in there?
No.
Well, keep on the cover.
Don't worry. That guy's crazy.
Bentley? Bentley?
Yeah?
Come on out with your hands up. You can't get away with this.
I can try. I'm kidding, no matter how you take me in.
You okay, Ben?
Yeah.
Now I got me two cops.
Everything.
In the paint booth.
Yeah, come and get me. Hey.
Nervous, Bentley? You're gonna whip the whole police force?
I don't have to. There's only two of you.
There'll be more.
Okay, you whip.
Throw your gun out. Okay. Come out with your hands over your head. Okay, that's close enough. Face the wall. Put your hands in back of you.
Sure.
Take it easy, Bentley. Okay, Pete, come on in.
Will you get...
That didn't make much sense, Bentley. Get an ambulance, Pete.
The lineup, where before you pass the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. Listen again next week when we again bring you The Lineup.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Cogger, Sergeant Pete Cogger. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call up a number, their name, and charge. Do you have any questions or damages?
The Lineup, starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Guthrie with Jack Moyles as Sergeant Pete Cogger, was written by David M. Light with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Peter Leeds, Hi Everback, Virginia Gregg, Howard McNear, Herb Butterfield, Bob Bailey, Sam Edwards, and Jeanette Nolan. The Lineup is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle. Presidential election night. As the voting returns pour in from coast to coast, CBS Radio will be ready with one of the most comprehensive reporting jobs in election history. Make CBS Radio your election night headquarters. for coverage by Alan Jackson, Lowell Thomas, and Edward R. Murrow. And shortly after, for full-time coverage by the entire CBS Radio news staff. And remember, between now and November 4th, make CBS Radio your election campaign headquarters for all developments clearly, impartially reported. Dan Coverly speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Welcome back. Well, if you're like me and you didn't catch it, the first thing you did after the show was over was rewind back through it to find out where Bob Bailey appeared. And I'll go ahead and answer, save you a little searching and trouble. He was the second guy in the lineup. Speaking of today's lineup, Carter seemed to be going kind of fast when he was reading the instructions. I mean, I know it's not Shakespeare or anything, but my goodness, he was going quick through that. Also, given that the whole point of the lineup is to get of questioning people in the lineup, is just to get a natural tone of voice, he was kind of going, hard after that con man guy, who was, I believe Howard McNair's character. And of course, then there's the title of this, The Pitiful Patricide Case. Okay, the guy didn't actually kill his father, unless they're trying to suggest that the murderer killed the liquor store owner, in a indirect way of killing his father, which kind of seems a little Freudian, and not so straightforward, but, or it could be that they were just looking for something with alliteration. Alright, well, now we've got a couple of announcements. First of all, I've added a new show to the big list of programs that we're going to do, and the program I've added is The Avenger. I'm probably going to wait till after we finish Nick Carter, because it's one of those shows that is a bit more pulpish, and probably having two of them running at the same time doesn't make sense. It was originally designed as kind of a knockoff of The Shadow, except it really was a detective mystery. I was listening to it back during the when we were doing James Monk's in Mr. Moto on the show, so I could have something to go ahead and play as an extra. But I found out that actually will work in the program. So we will. It's been added to the eventual list. Those of you in the app or premium side have gotten an unhosted episode as kind of a little foretaste of what's to come. Kathy comments, I love it when you post these B-movies, and this one's from Puritan Pictures, no less. And that's from Video Theater number 44, I'll Name the Murderer. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Kathy, and I appreciate the feedback. We don't get a whole lot on the on that particular aspect of the program. I've done, in the last few months, quite a few more television shows, just because the best of the public domain movies, things like DOA and my favorite brunette, we've already played. But we're continuing to look for gems that are actually public domain. But expect a mix of B-movies and television programs when applicable. I know we have a couple of episodes of The Adventures of Philip Marlowe TV show that we'll be bringing you when we do that series. And still haven't made up my mind for month of October. I will let you know next Saturday, though, for sure. And then we have a comment from Chris who says, I have to apologize, but I'm a recent convert to this particular podcast. I've long listened to old-time radio, but found this incredible podcast earlier this year. I'm listening to back broadcast and just got to the start of the Mr. Moto series. This is a series I have never heard before. And since I've been listening since I was a wee one, finding anything from the golden age that I've not heard is rare and treasured. I thank you for your continued hard work in bringing all of this wonderful content back to life once more. Well, thanks so much, Chris. And I love notes like this and the comments that we get. It's part of what keeps me loving doing the Tuesday programs, which usually feature shows that are less heard of than things like Johnny Dollar, Nick Carter, and Philip Marlowe, but still pretty interesting and fun to listen to. All right, well, that will do it for now. Join us back here on Monday as we will bring you yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Next Wednesday, we'll have a Johnny Fletcher mystery. And then on Saturday, we'll be back for the lineup. Send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. If you enjoy the show, please rate it on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.